Okay, in these dark and gloomy times, we do have the holidays coming up, and I think it honestly is not overstating things to suggest that we treat this coming holiday season as perhaps the last one for many people, for many reasons. And do your best. And if you, I'm not suggesting, as many do, forgive and forget all differences and sit down at the same table with your vaxxed relatives and really have a wonderful family time. That is a beautiful idea. Don't do it. Just don't. It's unless you want to pay the price. If you don't care anymore and you don't mind being shed upon and beginning to develop antibodies in your system to the spike and get sick and potentially end up with amyloid clots, which they're finding out more and more about now in the unvaxxed, go ahead and do it. But it makes me seem like a Scrooge. I just can't counsel people to expose themselves to the horrors of this bioweapon. No, I will not go there. There have to be other ways to do it. Zoom calls, maybe get a big screen and patch your phone into the big screen, and they can be at their table, you can be at yours, and you can watch each other and talk back and forth. I don't know. It sounds, screwy, but that's the safe way to go. All right, let's bring on the better half here. You there?
I am here, as always.
Did you finish your dinner?
I think so, yes.
See, she's not kidding. She doesn't know. I think I did. I'm not sure. I mean, you have 15 cookies a day. Who's to tell which one is dinner and who's to tell which one is brunch? I don't
Good
know.
point. Good point.
Yes. Now, because things are so damned awful out there, we're going to have some really fascinating information this hour for you. But I have to do something for 30 or 40 seconds that helps us remember what we used to have. It's gone now. It's gone. Here, this is just a little time travel, just for fun. Flashback, 1946, 24-year-old kid on national radio making his debut. That's fun. So there, we did have some wonderful things in this country. They have been ground up, chewed up, and stomped upon by international Zionist, communist, Bolshevik, heartless monsters out there. They want to take all morality and all goodness, that which is left, and get rid of that too. That's why the war on children and the war on childhood is so important to be aware of and to oppose at every possible step. And that's for you parents out there with children. I can't even imagine sending a child to public school now under any circumstance. I can't even imagine underwriting the cost to send children to a so-called university or college for education. when they end up majoring in 14th century Italian literature. What the hell is this game all about? It's time to pull the plug on that. Over 50% of young people are still living with their parents now, in the basement or wherever. Things are just not encouraging out there, and it's up to you good people, and many of you are listening from all around the world, to take care of your families and your children to the best of your ability. And you know what we're talking about here. All right, enough.
Hear, hear.
Thank you. Thank you.
I should mention, I came across some videos of Alan Watt today. And Alan Watt was onto this a long time ago. And since deceased. He died in 2021. I don't quite know what the cause of death was, but
he
anyway.
Was old. It was age related. I knew him very well. He was on the program many times. We're talking 25 years ago.
But somebody, I don't know if it was him or a fan of his, put together a nice compilation of many of the radio shows that he did over the years, and just outlining this entire agenda.
No, Alan saw it very clearly. He had the big picture. He had it.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
Yeah.
Way ahead of his time.
We had some great conversations. I bet.
I don't think most people would realize the extent of the control. The control of the mass media, the control of entertainment, the control of sports. It's all socially engineered, and has been for some time.
Every bit of it is controlled, created, controlled, deployed, and monitored. They have created this. In a way, you can make an argument that we live in a virtual reality. It's their reality. It's not ours. They created it, and we're living in it. So we do live in a virtual reality. It's an arguable position. These people are heartless, ruthless, and absolutely think nothing of death. Nothing. Especially if it's not their own. You get the picture.
You know, the fact that they were able to convince people to take a lethal injection, and you know, they didn't really hide that much. They said it was experimental, and, you know, the outcome wasn't guaranteed, but it was safe and effective, according to their studies. There was no liability for a virus that was only really killing, 0.01% of those who got it with comorbidities? And yet,
correct.
You know, they either convinced or coerced 80% of the population to take this thing. And they're still taking it in some cases.
So 10 million now, I think, about have taken the new one. And we know it's been refined. We don't know exactly how. We're watching and trying to monitor and do our analysis that way. But people are taking it, no question.
The programming is so deep. We had a young girl come, I'd say young, probably 30s maybe, I'm guessing, come into one of the vaccine injuries group. I think it was the myocarditis group. And you know, the first thing somebody does when they come into a group is start reading some of the past comments. And most of the discussion, because it's a vax injury support group, it involves people describing their pain and suffering and how they're coping with it. And this girl, I guess, was utterly shocked by it and posted a question. Is this actually a support group or is it an anti-vax group?
Oh, that's the way you read that to me. That was incredible. I remember.
So by support, she's thinking she wants reassurance that everything's going to be okay. When, you know, the vast majority of people in these groups at this point in time realized that they were duped, that this thing had no protection or offered no protection against the virus. If anything, it made them more susceptible to contracting the virus. And now they're paying a very grave, steep price for it.
Terrible price. There's just a disconnect here. And that's what Catherine Watt was writing about. People just, they keep using the terms, oh, these are contaminants, you know, the DNA plasmin contamination we've talked about, or it's adulterated, or what? There's debris in there, in the vials. I have said, we have said, no, we don't think so. We think that these DNA contaminants are part of the package. This thing is not experimental. It's a deployed weapon. They knew what they were doing.
Well, the smoking gun, you know, they it appears as though they did have trouble removing the DNA because it complexed with the RNA, because the RNA or the DNA was methylated. That makes it sticky. So they stuck to each other, and that made it difficult to remove the DNA. But the real smoking gun is the documentation that was submitted by Pfizer to the EMA, the European Medicines Association, that showed the plasmid map and what was in the plasmid, and they had deliberately removed the section that showed the SV40 promoter.
Funniest thing, how that happens. Catherine Watt is a columnist, writer, researcher. She's got a piece
she's
on
a paralegal.
Bailey. She's a paralegal, okay. Bailiwick News, titled, "Whatever is in the biochemical weapons bearing Pfizer and other pharma labels is there because U.S. Secretary of Defense multiples and their WHO Bank of International Settlement handlers ordered it to be there." In other words, it's their ingredients in this terrible, terrible biological weapon. Subtitled, "Military contractors who work in the information space are erecting firewalls between that truth and the public using words like adulteration, contamination, and civil suits against Pfizer to delay and deflect." It's all about delay, misdirection, deflection. And she writes, "I got a text this morning regarding Robert Malone making the media rounds discussing SV40 and other, quote, contaminants sequenced from vials of DOD biochemical weapons labeled COVID-19 vaccines." Good for Catherine. "Adulteration and short DNA fragments not in the formulations provided to the FDA. The person who sent the text doesn't regularly read Bailiwick or Sasha Latipova's Due Diligence Substack. He paraphrased Malone's points as, quote, has potential to cause vaccine removal from sale and Pfizer exposure to fraud allegations, and wondered if the information could cause the judge in Brooke Jackson's whistleblower case to set aside judgment." Her reply, Catherine's reply, "No, it's just a red herring intended to divert and distract. Sasha and I have been posting explainer pieces in the last week or so." All right. Anything else you want to add to this?
Well, the whole thing is suspicious. I think the timing of it is suspicious. You know, why did it take 2 years for this to come out? I mean, certainly there were people
yes.
who could have done this work.
Namely?
Well, the person that presented it. So it was apparently discovered it.
And then we have people like McKernan, who was sitting
well,
on
that's who
vials.
That's I'm referring to, yeah.
Yes.
It has me scratching my head a bit. You know, I mean, here's somebody that had not only the expertise, the knowledge of how to do it, but the equipment to do it.
And he didn't do it. And then he said
until
after
recently,
2 years, golly gee, I've got these vials here, and the thought hit me that maybe I ought to do what I do best and see what's in them. Anyway, control, control, control. Understand. Nothing
well,
is left
I think, you know, when you are
to randomly associate.
Timing is everything when you're executing a plan, right? So yeah. if the information was known 2 years ago, it was held back for probably strategic purposes.
Exactly. Okay. So, yeah, that Catherine Watt piece will be posted. I got to send the headlines over here. I forgot. Anything else that Catherine Watt has done that we should know about or do? She's kind of a new name here. She's a paralegal.
Her material is definitely worth reading. She's done one heck of a job in digging up a lot of the legal aspects of this and how they're getting away with what they're doing.
Right. Exactly right. Okay. We have a special video guest tonight, Dr. Michael Palmer. We've mentioned him a few times in the past. Tell us a little bit about Michael Palmer. He's a recent guest on the Greg Hunter show, and we're going to play excerpts from that because I was just very happy to see somebody tying together virtually all the things that we like to spend time on, but from a position of being a really world-class researcher and authority. He just really laid it out.
Yeah, he's in Ontario, Waterloo, Ontario, I believe, and lost his job as a professor at, I'm not sure which university up there, but I think he's also a medical doctor. But he knew what was up right from the beginning, and rather than comply with the mandates, he said no and, of course, was fired for that. But he's been speaking out periodically all along, just like many have, and I believe he either studied under or with Sukaret Bhakti.
I think they are associates, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, he is an academic. He doesn't have a fire and brimstone voice. He's very methodical, very well-spoken, but it's kind of a put-you-to-sleep voice if you're not paying close attention. It's a nice voice, but, I mean, it's not a voice that will nail point after point, you know, with a big sledgehammer, boom, boom, boom. He just states it matter-of-factly. But what he states is extremely important, and it's right there on the money. So here's, I'm just going to jump through this, and we'll comment about it as I stop and move forward, because it's there. It's up now in the Jeff and Erica archive on the right-hand side. It's in fact, the top entry there, so you can take your time and listen to it. And Greg Hunter is the interviewer. So here we go. This is Dr. Michael Palmer, and he's going to just to make a generic statement about the injections, then we'll move on from there. Anything to add?
No. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, it was already clear in 2020 that the risks that were being taken were completely unreasonable, right? I mean, it normally takes many years until a vaccine is developed from the development in the laboratory through initial animal experiments and then preclinical trials, and so on. These years were condensed into just a few months, right? And on top of that, the choice was made, and remarkably, by all four Western manufacturers at the same time, to use a gene-based experimental technology that has never been applied before in any sort of clinically applied vaccine. So if you combine this, if you combine the radical shortening of time permitted for testing, right, that already but on its own creates a huge risk. And if you combine this with a new unproven technology, that means the risk is completely incalculable. So this is completely irresponsible. And so even if one were inclined to pass this off as honest mistakes or incompetence or whatever, at the very latest, after the adverse events kept piling up and the deaths kept piling up after the beginning of the vaccination campaign, then things should have been stopped, right? So the ongoing vaccination campaign and the escalating coercion with which everybody was pressured into getting the vaccine That cannot be explained as an honest mistake or incompetence. This must be deliberate. This must
absolutely deliberate, and he's just telling it straight. I wish that these people, after the first iteration or two, would stop using the term vaccine or vaccination, because it really is, as Catherine correctly stated, it was a DOD weapon. That's what it is. It's not a vaccine at all.
No.
None.
No.
So I'm going to move this up just a little bit more. And here's, you'll hear Greg for a few seconds here.
But what is the poison in these CV-19 shots?
Well, the poison is the principle of sneaking the genes for the spike protein into our own body cells, right? Our own body cells then are instructed to convert the information on the gene into the actual spike protein. This spike protein produced by our cells appears on our cell surfaces, and that is recognized by the immune system as a foreign antigen. The immune system then responds to this foreign antigen as it would also in case of a virus infection, right? With virus infections, something similar happens. The virus infects the cell. The nucleic acid of the virus is released into the cell, and the cell then starts making the proteins of the virus. And these proteins are the triggers for the immune system to recognize the virus infection and then to kill off the cells. So this is what happens.
It's the mRNA. What is the trigger? It's the actual mRNA is the poison?
The mRNA it acts poisonous because it causes the formation of the spike protein. So it.
All right. What he's saying there is the body's immunological response looks for cells producing the spike protein. The instructions for such production, the mRNA, are poison in themselves. But the actual spike protein is what alerts these T lymphocytes to attack the cells that they're coming from or hanging around, and they attack your body. The T lymphocyte cells literally attack, and we've said this for 2.5 years, your cells that have been transfected with mRNA, either by viral introduction or injection through a needle, and destroys them. Those cells are all over your body. Every organ you have is made of cells. You know the game. Trillions and trillions and trillions of cells. And every one of them that gets transfected with mRNA and begins to produce spike is targeted for annihilation. That's a simple way to do it. And that's bad. So your immune system declares war on your entire body. Any cells anywhere that are infected, transfected with mRNA, get targeted for destruction. Brain cells, heart cells, the most catastrophic, because the brain and the heart do not regenerate new cells. When you lose them, they're gone. And we'll get into this a little bit more. Go ahead.
Anything well, I else? Would add that there are a couple immune-privileged areas of the body that will not be attacked, and that's the nerve cells and some of the cells in the eye and the cells in the testes. So it's possible if the mRNA ends up in those areas, it will stay there and will not get destroyed. And I think we're seeing that. Certainly, it does seem to be or collect in the testes in males and continue to produce spike protein.
Right.
And it may be happening in people's nervous systems as well. I mean, we have a lot of people who took these shots and are neurologically damaged and beyond the point of that they could be repaired.
Right. All right. Let's jump ahead a little bit. And again, just if you, I listened to this, and I actually listened to it 2-3 times in sections. because if you don't really pay attention, the words come out with kind of the same nuance, and they kind of run together. So you've got to really focus down on the words, and then they just come alive as being stunning. All right, here we go.
The body's own protein in a person who has only a deficient version, a functionally deficient version, then this might actually work in theory. I am not particularly convinced that this will be a viable approach for long-term treatment.
My question, is there mRNA in immunotherapy now? Are they putting mRNA in immunotherapy now?
No, there's nothing I'm aware of that has been clinically approved yet. No.
Good, but here's the problem with your book. Here's what you're saying. So we already know the mRNA vaccines are a disaster. They attack and kill your organs and kill off people. They kill off. You are injecting something that'll kill people. Am I right?
That's correct.
It's designed to kill people.
I think it is designed. It has been designed to kill people, yes, while also providing a cover story that it is actually beneficial and protective. But in effect, yes, the main effect is to harm and kill. That's what these vaccines really are doing. They are not protecting anyone from any disease. They are just harming and killing.
It doesn't get any more clear than that, and we've said that for a long, long time. But he does go into great detail here during his presentation. Okay, anything to add on that, and we'll move ahead.
No, go ahead.
You're supposed to say something so I can do the moving here.
Oh, okay. Well, I would think after 3 years it'd be obvious, you know, what this thing is about. And it's never prevented anybody from getting COVID.
No. In fact, when you get shot up, it almost guarantees you're going to get it multiple times.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Here we go.
These new mRNA vaccines, which we must expect will be similarly toxic as these COVID vaccines, right? So, and you will have cumulative toxicity across all these vaccinations, right? Each single one will contribute to causing your body to attack itself. And the cumulative effect will just be disastrous. So I can only say, don't touch any mRNA vaccines, no matter who tells you what. They will not be any better than the COVID vaccines, which demonstrably have killed hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. So future vaccines against other infectious agents will be just as bad. And don't let yourself be injected. Don't let your children be injected. You just have to defend yourself from these vaccines.
They are in the process now of rebuilding, reformatting, reconfiguring all traditional vaccines with an mRNA liquid nanoparticle, LNP, protective covering, apparently. That's the way to get it in the cell quickly and more easily with this fat covering. All vaccines, all mRNA-platformed vaccines will kill you, according to Dr. Michael Palmer. He made it very clear there. He said it'll be maybe even worse than the COVID vaccine. And I would argue this is a genocidal plan, been around for a long time, and they're deploying it. And they're going to try and force children to be vaxxed. How many vaxes, I forget, California children have to take, it's something like 40 or 60 by the time they graduate high school. It's way up there.
I thought it was like 60.
I go with 60.
By the time they're going into kindergarten, it's in some obscene amount, completely unnatural.
It just makes me, anything to do with the war on children is pure satanic evil. Pure. No arguing, no mitigating, nothing. It's evil. All right, I'm going to back up just a hair on that.
Future vaccines against other infectious agents will be just as bad. And don't let yourself be injected. Don't let your children be injected. You just have to defend yourself from these vaccines.
Wow. That's a stunning statement. You think we should stop all mRNA vaccines?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Explain why we should stop all mRNA vaccines.
Greg, he just explained why. Ask him to do it again? All right. He just explained why. Anyhow, all right, let's go ahead and let him restate it, because it is important.
Because the entire technology is fundamentally flawed. It will always produce the outcome that the body will begin destroying itself. This was predictable. It was, in fact, predicted. And my former boss, Sucharit Bhakti, predicted in particularly lucid detail that the blood vessels would be the first target of the attack, and we indeed see as the most common manifestation what's called vasculitis, inflammation and destruction of the blood vessels. This then also causes blood clots and so on, right? So if you have a focus of destruction at the inner surface of a blood vessel, then this will set off blood clotting, and then you get strokes and heart attacks and this sort of thing. So
you looked at a lot of autopsies. You found this.
Okay. He's moving on to another area. Most important to understand is that wherever these proteins go, these horrible spike proteins, the body's immune system will go after them, with T lymphocytes being the primary warrior to go out and destroy the spike protein. And you've got war, and that's the damage inside your blood vessels, in your liver, your pancreas, your heart, your brain. He goes on to present some staggering autopsy pictures of like heart muscle. We'll get into that in just a minute. But he's so right. No needles. You don't need needles for anything. Your children don't need needles. Don't sacrifice your children. Stop it. Say no. You have to do that for them. If you love your kids, and I know all of you do, you've got to protect them. You've got to advocate for them. No matter what the cost, you have to. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say that there's really no regulatory agency right now that's advocating for the consumer anymore. So don't trust any of them.
No, none of them are. You're right. None of them are. All right. Let's move on to the next section.
Frank, health. And has five kids, murdered. Would you say all these deaths are murders, or am I being over the top?
No, I think it's justified. It's in a deliberate agenda of killing. I mean, not necessarily by the person who applied the shot. They may be honestly deceived, but by it's murder by the people who conceived this entire vaccination agenda and instituted the mandates that coerced people into getting vaccinated. These people, I think, are guilty of murder. There's no need for beating about the bush. How else would you refer to it? It's deliberate. The consequences were perfectly to be expected, and even after the consequences had become manifest, this agenda was even accelerated, was kept up and accelerated. So, of course, there is no other interpretation in my mind than that this is deliberate murder, deliberate killing.
If you've been with us for any length of time, you'll know that we feel exactly the same way. So we've been presenting this data and information for a long time, and it's great to see somebody of his stature and maturity and wisdom, scientifically and intellectually, stand up and say it like it really is. It's kind of lonely over here for us for a while, but we're getting more people coming around this way now. Not that we're the only ones, we're not. But this is really a very encouraging presentation.
Well, yeah, and I think some people held back because, you know, they just need a little bit more evidence to make their case. But I think when your life is on the line, you're not going to wait for evidence.
I wouldn't. No.
I mean, this whole thing just stunk right from the beginning.
Right. Awful. Just awful.
And it still is mind-boggling how many people fell for it.
I was just going to say the same basic thing. How the people were able to convince themselves to throw all caution to the wind with unprecedented lack of testing, trialing. Yeah, it's incredible. All right, here.
And no liability. So if anything goes wrong, nobody's accountable.
Here's the next section. He's going to talk about T lymphocytes. All right, those are soldiers in the blood immune army. And they go after the spike and the mRNA. Any cell transfected is targeted. And even though the mRNA is hiding out in the middle, it's so to speak, it's still a target. It's still every bit as evil as the spike because it's the creator of the spike. So what they do in work is they'll stain the T lymphocyte cells blue so they can see them under magnification. And they have a way to do this.
In the tissues, when they take a sample of a tissue, organ or tissue.
Thank you. Correct. Piece of the heart muscle, partially showing brain tissue. He's going to put up several pictures here from autopsies. Now, the heart muscle is a very fascinating type of muscle. It's striated. It's like in strings, but it's very tightly woven together. You can see it. And after the T lymphocytes have gone into a heart looking for spike proteins that are in there, in the heart, they've bound up to something or another, and the T lymphocytes destroy them, the heart muscle is no longer this beautifully layered, pulsing muscle. It's like a mash, and it has scar tissue in it. And it's awful. And you see in these pictures, blue T lymphocyte cells all over the heart, in the heart muscle itself, the tissue. And he also explains how the T lymphocyte activity can interrupt the body's autonomic electric nerve signaling to the heart to beat. And this is how people are being overwhelmed and their hearts just stop. The T lymphocytes are in the heart muscle, actually doing damage, trying to kill and root out all the spike protein. I'm keeping this simple, but that's the basis of it. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good explanation, because the immune system sees that these cells have been overtaken by a foreign genetic material, and now they're producing a foreign protein.
All right, here we go.
Normally, the lymphocytes belong to the white blood cells, but in microscopic work, we typically stain them so that they appear deep blue, all right? So just remember that the lymphocytes are small, round, and dark blue. Okay, so that is it. So now we get into the pathology, and here's a sample. So here we have an example of a myocarditis. On the left-hand side, you see some nice, healthy heart muscle fibers, right?
All right, this is about myocarditis. Now, according to Malone and others, everyone who has been given at least one shot has some kind of heart damage, myocarditis leading to damage. And when the spike gets in the heart muscle, the T lymphocytes go racing after them and going right through every capillary in the heart muscle looking to destroy these things. And the result is that the actual heart muscle is turned into it's ugly. You'll see it in the video. It's ugly stuff.
Running in parallel. On the right-hand side, you see heart muscle, which has an example of a myocarditis. On the left-hand side, you see some nice, healthy heart muscle fibers, right, all running in parallel. On the right-hand side, you see heart muscle, which has been invaded by all these small, little blue lymphocytes. This is heart muscle, which is under attack and undergoing destruction by lymphocytes. You still see some heart muscle fibers in red. You also see these pale areas, these pale stained areas, and these are actually scars. Okay, so what probably happened in this case is, right, we have two phases of inflammation. The first has already quieted down. It has resulted in the destruction of some heart muscle tissue and its conversion into scar tissue. And now we have, after the second injection, this patient indeed received second injection before he died, we see a renewed attack by the second wave of the lymphocytes. Okay, so this is, you don't even have to be a professor of pathology to see that something is wrong, very wrong here with this
right.
tissue.
And it's important to keep in mind that parents who have allowed their little children to be injected with this crap, they've damaged their children's hearts. And we're not even talking about brain, liver, kidneys, etc.
Yeah.
Their hearts have been damaged. Their lives have been shortened. And add to this, if you're an adult, I mean 20, 25, 30, and you've had two, three, four shots, one shot, two, three, four especially, your heart has been damaged. And in addition to that, what is your heart supposed to pump? A nice, healthy, liquid blood supply. What does the blood look like after you have been injected? We know the answer to that. You know the answer to that. It looks like sludge. And so your heart, already damaged and full of scar tissue, is being asked to respond normally and pump sludge through your entire body, every little teeny capillary, where the blood cells can only pass one at a time, not even shoulder to shoulder, one at a time, all the way up to major veins, arteries, you name it. The heart can't do that. So it literally is pushed to exhaustion, and then it quits. That's called a heart attack. It's scarred, it's messed up, it's not getting the proper electrical signaling to cause the proper pulsing and pumping, and your heart just dies. I'm sorry, I don't like talking like this, but that's what happens. If you've taken any of these shots, you got things to deal with here. And we have no easy answer. Go ahead.
There is an epidemic, as we heard Nurse Ann say, of atrial fibrillation right now. And the risk with that is not so much the heart stops, is that the blood pools in one of the chambers and then it clots, as if it isn't prone to clotting already. So for these people, having atrial fibrillation on top of blood that is prone to clotting is almost a guarantee that they're going to throw a clot.
Gotcha. All right, let's go back a little bit more.
We see a renewed attack by the second wave of the lymphocytes. Okay, so this is, you don't even have to be a professor of pathology to see that something is wrong, very wrong here with this
right.
tissue.
They're destroying the heart.
They are absolutely destroying the heart, and this is most likely the cause of death in this particular patient. Now, if you survive this, you will still retain these scars in your heart. And these scars in your heart, they can actually interfere with the proper function of the heart, right? It is very important for the heart that all the muscle cells not only contract, but they also propagate the wave of electrical excitation, right? So the heart needs to undergo electrical excitation in a very orderly way. All the muscle cells in the heart ventricles, they must contract at the same time and they must relax at the same time. If there are scars in this tissue, right, then this orderly occurrence of this wave of excitation can be upset. And this risk is the greatest if you have a fast heartbeat, as for example, during intense exercise. And this is the most likely explanation for all these sudden cardiac deaths, which we are seeing on the in the sports arenas and so on. People...
Hold on. This just happened this week. You mean people like this running his best time ever, falls down at the finish line and dies.
Yes, that's right.
You suspect his heart.
I suspect his heart, and I suspect that he actually did suffer some myocarditis, which he may not even have noticed at the time, and that this myocarditis left behind a scar, as is seen here in this picture, right? So all this pale tissue is scar tissue on the right panel, and this scar tissue forms a roadblock, if you will, for the orderly propagation of the excitation wave that occurs in every heartbeat.
Wow. And so, this person, for example, somebody who looks like they're infected.
Okay. I think we'll pause there. We only have about 3-4 minutes left. But the way the heart beats is not even understood by most people. Many people can't even find their kidneys in their body. They don't know where they are. The idea that the heart now is full of myocarditis-induced T lymphocyte-caused damage and scar tissue, and a heart that is so afflicted cannot beat properly. The heart muscle contracts. It's like a wave. It's like a, it looks like a pulse, but it's more like a wave. And it gets the signal to do that. And these, it's brilliant how the heart is constructed. But it cannot any longer receive the proper impulse and the proper cadence or excitation, as he was saying, to pull a wave form of a beat. And so it's pushing sludge on top of all this. And here are these athletes out at high heart rate output, and their hearts have already been severely damaged, even though they can still run and perform, until their time is up and they're down and out. It's that bad. This is so evil,
happening.
These shots.
It's happening.
Oh, it's happening. Oh, yeah. All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up. What do you have to say? Anything to add here, and then we'll
go say goodnight. Well, no, it's a very, very good presentation. I mean, you know, he took the gloves off for this one, so it's worth listening to. It's getting bad. The fact that they haven't pulled these things yet, people are continuing to take them. the shedding
crazy.
Is happening. I've seen many reports of new rounds of shedding sickness. And the FLCCC.
What did you learn from the FLCCC? Go ahead. I was just going to ask. Yeah, go ahead.
They had their weekly webinar tonight, and it was devoted to the topic of shedding specifically. A very good presentation. So you'll hear from Pierre Corey and his assistant. He's a functional nurse practitioner, Scott Marsland, and Paul Merrick is in there too. But it's primarily Pierre Corey. Speaking about what he knows about shedding, firsthand experience, being a frontline clinician, and it is absolutely happening, and the unvaxxed are, in some cases, in just as much trouble as the vaxxed. They are developing the amyloid clots. The people that I'll qualify that, in their patient population, the people that are presenting to them for treatment, unvaxxed, 100% of them are showing clotting, amyloid clots specifically, not regular blood clots, amyloid clots.
These are not responsive to any blood thinners, okay? Understand that if you're new to the program.
They are being put on this anticoagulant therapy. I don't know if he's doing the triple therapy where they're using three different modes of action to try to control these clots. I mean, the one benefit is that the unvaxxed are not continually producing the spike protein within them. But if they are sharing living space or workspace with vaxxed people, they are at the same risk for developing all of the same problems.
Okay, please elaborate on that just a little bit. You're working in an office with somebody who's triple vaxxed, whatever. That person is exhaling, sitting 5-6 feet away from you. Or you go to the coffee break and you sit and talk and they're laughing and people are breathing and exhaling in your face. You are picking up spike proteins going to your body,
yeah.
And your body's generating antibodies to allegedly fight them, etc. That's all discernible in tests. And then if you shake hands with somebody, same thing. If you hug somebody or kiss them, same thing. If you have sex with them, same thing, and you're in real trouble. If you're changing, if you're swapping body fluids like that, you're in real trouble. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just reading a report today where an unvaxxed person had developed blood clots, and they went to remove them, but things went bad, and they had to amputate the leg.
Oh, no.
Huh. And they found a clot that went all the way from his leg into his abdominal cavity. Unvaxxed.
One of those three-footers. Whatever.
So I don't know, until now that we really had any evidence that this was also occurring in the unvaxxed, but evidently it is.
Well, I'm not surprised. This was the plan. This was when they formulated this entire campaign of genocide on human beings. They said, how are we going to get the people who don't take the shots? And they figured out shedding was going to be, for them, it's going to be their closer. They got it. They figured it out. It's part of the plan. So when you look at people wearing masks, we wear masks and gloves. Don't laugh too loudly. We have the science on our side here. We don't want spike proteins in our body. Now, the idea is if you're intermittently exposed to spike by someone who's shedding, we think your body's immune system can pretty well take care of that. But if it's constant and chronic, you have a problem, because you're going to end up with thick blood. You're going to end up with the same T lymphocyte issues going after spike proteins, which have worked their way into every major organ system in your body, all your tissues, even in your bone marrow. So this is so diabolically evil. It's beyond the ability of most people to understand, and we don't blame them at all. How many different ways do you think? Now, just for fun, we got to go. How many different ways can these injections? Now, the vaccine is something bad. You don't want the vaccine. You neither want in any circumstance to have the virus. You don't want that either. But we're just talking about the shots now. How many different ways can the shots prove to be anti-life to the extent that they'll eventually kill? Whether it's 1 month or 1 year or 3 years or 5 years, we don't know. How many different ways? How many pathways have we stumbled across and discovered?
Well, why don't we just go with the adverse events from the Pfizer documents, 1,291. Any one of those adverse events could potentially be fatal.
Think about it. That's exactly... Yeah,
it's undermining the human physiology in so many different ways.
And there's just no simple way to detox. You don't detox this kind of human contamination with this crap. It's in there.
Well, they made a point of saying that you know, you've got to be proactive and stay on top of this if when you're around these people that are shedding. And they made a point of saying we don't know if it ever stops. And it seems as though some people are super shedders. Maybe some people peter out over time. We don't know the conditions when they shed more or when they shed less. It's highly variable, and we're not going to have any answers anytime soon. And they also said that women tend to be disproportionately affected more so than men. The reasons for that, they don't know. But I would say women in general are more apt to develop MCAS, the mast cell activation syndrome, in general.
Right.
Due to
we
estrogen.
Gotta say goodnight. Go ahead and wrap it up. Yeah,
I'm done.
All right. Okay. I hope all of you will listen to this program again. Go look at the full interview with Greg Hunter. It's up on the right side. You'll find it. Thank you. Great job. We put it out there as best we can, as always.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Be right back with Hour 3 after this.